Salah who gets in on the act. But that is surely Liverpool's day now.
Barnes. Oh, that's spectacular!
Eriksen tries again. Oh, that's phenomenal! Absolutely phenomenal!
Manchester City champions! And it's been decided in their favour at Old Trafford.
Hello and welcome to a big interview brought to you by the V2 Sport Network. My guest for this show is former Leeds midfielder Andy Cousins.
How you doing?
So I know we've had you on the show a couple of times in the past. What are you up to at the minute? I know you mentioned you're coming home from work tonight.
Yeah, no, I've got the same business, still got an IV company, still doing the personal training. We work at Leeds United now on all the match days as well. So doing some hosting, some events as well with a few of the lads down there. I've got a few of the hosting events which I do as well. So it's we're keeping ourselves nice and busy.
That's fantastic. Is it? Did you say you do some match day stuff with Leeds as well, like with the fans or?
Yeah, I do the hosting with down there now in all the corporate areas on match day. So I'm working with like people like Steve Hodge, Mel Sterland, John Newsom, Peter Lorimer, Terry Yorick, Norman, and Tony Dorigo. So we're involved with that. So we're down at every home match game, which is good fun at the minute, obviously, where we are in the league. It makes our jobs a little bit easier. We're down there every game now, so it's a really good atmosphere and a real good positivity around the club, so it makes my job a lot easier on match days.
I can imagine. It's been a great season so far. I presume the atmosphere, it's all been a lot more positive around the ground now. It's looking well top of the league at the minute. It's all looking good on the pitch.
It's strange really, because we've pretty much got the same team as what we had last year. We've only got generally one starter in the team which wasn't there last year, which is Douglas. The rest of the team is pretty much the same team as what we had last year. But Bielsa seems to be able to get the best out of players. And I know the fitness regime which they went through at pre-season is now coming to fruition. I think you can, if any of you watch the game on against Derby, for instance, the fitness levels of the lads is phenomenal. And there's some really, really good football being played. And, it's a tough league. And, we're holding our own. We're halfway there. But there's a long way to go in this season. I think that's one thing which, the manager and the players all realise. Me and fans and other fans out there around the world, we all want Leeds back into the Premiership. Hopefully this year will be our year. The way we're playing, the way we're, the atmosphere on match days before, every game, we've got the Norwich game on the 2nd of Feb, and the tickets went on sale at 9:30 and it was sold out by 10:30, and it just shows you, I suppose, how big, Leeds United is and the fan base we've got, and everybody wants us to get back into that Premiership for our centenary year, and that's what we're planning to do. And the manager himself is just unbelievable, how he's turned some of these players around to how they're playing this year. It's quite remarkable, really.
Explains why a friend of mine at work was late the other day. He said he was stuck in traffic, but he got in just after 9:30. He's a Leeds fan, and he mentioned separately he had a ticket to the game, so all makes sense now.
Yeah. there you go. You know exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, I figured it out.
But that's the thing, every game it's a full house. All the corporate boxes are full. There's a great atmosphere around the football club. Last year, we did have we had a really good start to the season, under Christensen, and then it just kind of went a bit flat. But the infrastructure behind the scenes was all there, and that's down to the chairman and Victor Orton to get that right. Victor Orton's got the playing staff right by being able to bring Bielsa in and make a massive statement, I think, in the Championship. To bring that guy in is unbelievable bit of business. The infrastructure behind the scenes was there last year, and you know, I think we're seeing the fruits of that now, and I think, you know, the league fans are they're remarkable, really. They'll fill every ground, everywhere if they could. You know, they are, I might be biased, people might have a go at me, but I do believe that they are the best fans in the world. You know, wherever you go, it's full. You know, we go to Blackburn every year, we get 7,500, you know, so, you know, if a sellout from the league, then, you know, if you go down to London, it's a sellout. So it's fantastic at the minute. There's a real good feel factor around the club, and you know we're you know we let's keep this this winning habit going, really.
As you point out, there's only one real major first team signing, Patrick Bamford as well, but he's been injured most of the season, and it is pretty much the same squad as before. Something that concerns me though about the squad is it is quite a thin squad. Like if you get a couple of, well, you've had quite a few fair share of injuries this season, but I mean, do you think January reinforcements will be really important?
I think every club wants reinforcements. I think, you know, what we've seen so far this year, I think it's a very difficult one in January. Mm. I think we definitely need some reinforcements in the team, and a bit more experience to come into the fort. But you know, if the players are not at the right price, then we won't be interested. We all know January price are places. We need players who are better than what we've already got. How many people are out there, how many players are out there who would fit that bill? You know, you're looking at Premiership team, you know, players coming down. I know we've been talked about the keeper out in Madrid, which would be a great signing. Mm. If we get somebody like that, just help me stop out. You know, just need to, you know, Billy just needs a little bit of an old head behind him now, I think, just to, you know, just to help him out a little bit. He's been fantastic for us in the last year, and he was first choice, but I just think he's a young lad, still learning his trade, and he needs a little bit of an experienced goalkeeper behind him just to, you know, throw ideas about. So, you know, I would definitely say that's one spot. I think we've got Iggy Brown, we've got Bamford coming back, we've got Berardi coming back, who've been long-term injured. But, you know, they're like, you know, like three new signings to us. As well, I think Iggy Brown would be, the potential for Iggy Brown is huge. He could fill a big spot. We need a number 10 who can score us a few goals. You know, we've lost Sammy Sayers, you know, out of that position. So, you know, we need somebody to fit that spot as well, I would say. But you know what? These young kids who have come in, they've been absolutely fantastic all season. Mm-hmm. You know, Jack Clark's come in and Shackleton's come in. They've been fantastic up and down that right hand side. So, you know, I think if we're going to bring players in, then they need to be better than what we've already got. I think we do need to strengthen the squad a little bit. You know, we have had a lot of injuries. You know, Cooper's only just come back after being out for 5 or 6 weeks. We've got Dallas who's been out for 5 or 6 weeks. We've had a season this year where we've had a lot of injuries and we've cut so far. You know, we're still top of the league and we're still fighting strong. And I think that there's a massive togetherness with the squad which we've got. I disagree with what, you know, a lot of the pundits were saying on Friday night on the TV at the Derby game about, you know, we're never gonna get through this league with a bench like we've got. You know, we go back to the old saying when Hansen said to Man United, you're never gonna win anything with kids. They went on and did the treble and won everything in sight. And I think at this present moment in time, I think we've got a few kids who are great prospects, and I think they can really improve the team. And I think you know, Jack Clark in particular has been fantastic since he's been involved. Mm. I don't think he's strong enough yet to play 90 minutes. He got 60 minutes under his belt the other day. 70 minutes under his belt the other day. And I think that, you know, that 70 minutes, it will build up and build up. And, you know, he's a great prospect. There'll be loads of people looking at him after that performance. And, you know, he's like a new signing for us. So, you know, it's difficult with signings, I think, you know, because in January everything's up, you know, inflated prices and things, so you know we kind of know what the manager's like now, and you know they'll only pay what's worth paying. So it's we would all like some, because we've got the best chance we've ever had to get into the Premiership for a long time, and then you know we'd all like a little bit of money being thrown at a few players and bringing them in, but I think the manager will make sure that they're the right players. That's all.
Mm-hmm. obviously it was a big win over Derby on Friday. I watched that game, and a 2-0 victory. How important do you think it was to get that win after losing the two games before that? It was a Forest and QPR. I mean, a third loss in a row, or you know, not winning.
Yeah, I think it was a massive game for both teams. I think. I think it was a massive game for us because I think a lot of fans, you know, were kind of thinking, "Well, here we go." You know, we never play well after Christmas. We never really do, you know, have a good Christmas at, you know, leave for some reason. So I think it was a massively important game. I think more importantly was the performance. The performance on Friday night was one of the best I've seen down at Elland Road for 90 minutes. You know, he changed it at half time to five at the back, thinking that they would go for it and got the goal very early in the second half. And you know, I think that you know, beforehand my question to, you know, the lads was, you know, how important is today and also this month. I think this month's a massive month. You know, we've got a lot of, you know, we've got Stoke, we've got Rotherham, we've got, you know, Norwich, you know, we've got, and Derby in that time, you know, but also the other things, you know, you look at your West Broms playing Norwich, your West Broms have got to play Middlesbrough, and they're all playing each other. So this month's a huge one to see. I think once we get to after the Norwich game on the 2nd of Feb, I think, you know, we can all sit down there and look at the table and be a realistic target of where we're going to be finishing. And, you know, if we get a good run in this month, then I think that, you know, we could be a few more points clear than where we are at this present moment in time. But this team just seems to bounce back. And I think the energy levels that the players that are playing with, they need that rest a little bit. I think they're a bit leggy over the Christmas period. I think we got lucky against Villa and we got lucky against Blackburn, but you make your own luck in this game. And, you know, maybe Hull at home, we were a little bit unlucky. We had two cleared off the line. We should have cleared our lines on their first goal. You know, you could say we were a little unlucky to come away with a 2-0 loss there. You know, Forest, you know, again, we're down to 10 men, so there's a lot of positives still, even in two defeats, there's a lot of positives, but you know, you just see the negatives of their loss, and oh, you know, is it going to happen? And you know, I think that performance on Friday night kind of you know, showed a few people that we potentially the real deal this year.
Yeah, I thought it was an incredible performance, and you know, you were clearly a couple of levels above the Derby team. I thought it was a controversial game, both on the pitch. You know, you definitely, it was a pretty blatant penalty in the first 30 seconds, and yeah, potentially a red card for the goalkeeper. Loads of a controversy there. But what I have to ask you, because obviously it's all over the news, is the whole spying thing, Spygate, with the Bielsa sending a guy who got arrested at the Derby ground apparently for spying. What are your thoughts on that? Because I know some people are saying that it's been all blown out of all proportion, and some saying it's a disgrace and whatever else. I mean,
I think it's a difficult one. It's been happening all the time. I think the press have been very double standard with it. You know, they're the first people to you know, to put the England team by a camera which has come from a tree of, you know, out of the ground somewhere else, and he zoomed in to the thing shoot in a quarter final of the World Cup, you know. So I think the press are very different standards. I think there's definitely something to do with Leeds United as well. I really do. I think a lot of people don't like it, and I think there's something to do with that. Was it right? No, it wasn't right. Should he have sent anybody? No, he shouldn't. Has he done anything illegal? No. It's the bottom line. You know, he's outside the perimeter, he's on a main road, or he's on a back road. It's happened so many times. You know, I can remember me, you know, retraining up at Fulton Park, which is just off Elland Road, when we used to be there, and you'd have people there with the, you know, with the tops on, with, you know, with a, you know, whoever it would be, you know, we're playing the week after, and they're there with the coats on, with the badge on, and, you know, they're watching our training sessions. You know, what's the difference of what you're going to get from having a look? You know, what you're going to get? You know, you've got scouts going every single game now. You know, they'll have every single game, the videos will be looked at by the staff and everything else. I think, you know, what some people have said, you know, in particular, you know, the guy from Sky on Friday night, I thought was his thought process, I thought personally, was a disgrace. I don't think it should have been talked about as much on the TV as it was. Mm. And I do believe if it was anybody else, I think it would have been kind of swept a little bit under the table, to be perfectly honest with you. I think it's happened in football. It happens in football. Mm. Frank Lampard definitely didn't complain when Jose Mourinho was sending Philip Forrest off doing the same thing. Let's be honest with it. Yes, it's not right. Does he know he's done wrong? Yes, he knows he's done wrong. Will it happen again in football? Not Philly, but will it happen again in football? Of course it will.
Mm.
You know, it'll be happening this weekend somewhere. And somebody was seen, whatever, you know, and nothing will be said. So I do think there's a little bit of green-eyed monster a little bit because it's Leeds United, and then, you know, it's been blown out a little bit out of proportion to the press. And if anybody thinks that we got an advantage on Friday night to beat Derby like we did, I think they're deluded. Because we were far, far better team. We were more energy. We dominated the game from start to finish. They had one shot over the bar, nothing else. You know, we could have qualified quite easily. You know, so do we get an advantage from it? No, not at all. So I think it's a difficult one. I think, Bale has come out and said that, yes, he did send somebody. He's come out and apologised for that. Not in public, but to Frank Lampard. He knows he's done wrong, so he said it to him. So it'll happen this weekend again for somebody else. You know, we don't, if you all remember, that I think Fergie sent a drone up to what Man City train. Again, it lasted, 24 hours? Not even that? Not really a big thing about it. It seems to be this one, which is interesting. Well, you know, sending a drone up against your opposition, and you can see everything from that, is surely a lot worse than somebody on a public road with a pair of binoculars trying to find something different. So, as I say, I think it's been blown apart of proportion far too much, to be perfectly honest with you.
Fair enough. I've seen a lot of former like players and things, a lot of Football League players sort of mentioning stories and things. Gary Taylor Fletcher, who used to play for Blackpool and a few other clubs, he mentioned a game he played for Lincoln away against Huddersfield, with the manager giving his half-time team talk and a polystyrene tile cracking and falling down with the kit man trying to back up, hiding in the ceiling. Have you ever heard of anything like this, like yourself, or any teammates mention anything to you or anything like that?
I think it's always happened. I think, you know, I can remember team talks when you're thinking they're going to get a relic and you get rid of something because you've got, you know, something clear, you know, nearby. You know, I can remember, you know, certain people sending people out to go listen at the door, you know, and things like that. So, it's always happened. It's football. It's always happened. I thought Gary Neville was very good, but, you know, on Twitter when he came back to Henry Winter as well, I thought, Gaz has come out with quite a few bits as well, you know, and I think that, the whole situation really, they've actually done nothing against the law, that's the bottom line. So I think now, it should be just a slap on the wrist and, you know, don't do it again and off you go kind of thing, and it may be a warning to everybody else, and maybe they need to put something in the rule book now. Maybe they do, I don't know, but there's always been people watching the training, and, you know, just back in my day there were people watching us train and stuff, and, you know, nothing was ever said. If you knew there was somebody there, if I was a manager, I knew somebody was watching, I'd change the team around, I'd do set pieces totally different, you know, because you know they're there, you know, they know they're there, so I don't think you get too much from it, to be honest now. You know, you've got all the information you need when you're playing at any level now at football, and you have a bit of information there for you, and you know, all you need to do is look at Monday Night Football, and you know, you've got Gary Neville and Barry Good who pinpoint absolutely everything, you know, in a game. Well, you don't think that every manager in the land, particularly the Championship, I would say, and certainly the Premiership, has all that information as well. So, you know, I don't think you get too much from it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to move away from Leeds and look at some of the other teams at the top of the table. First of all, Sheffield United, who sit second I want to mention Billy Sharp. He's scored 220 goals this century now. He scored the most of anyone in English football. They've also signed Gary Medine on loan. Won the last four games. It's looking pretty. They're looking in a pretty strong position to challenge.
Yeah, I think Sheffield United have always been strong. I think Sheffield United last year, I remember when they came down to Leeds, and I was sat with Chrissy Wilder after the game, and after that, the best we've seen for down here. It's the best team, you know, we've seen at the road this year. He goes to a rubbish track. So he's got high standards. I think Sheffield United are a very hard working team. I think they've got a goal scorer, but you know, football has all that confidence. You know, they've got Billy Sharp, who to be fair, when he's at Leeds, didn't do it at all. And, you know, he seems to be able to do it in Sheffield United. Great record, unbelievable. That is true. You know, and it's, if they go with us, for instance, as an example, then absolutely brilliant. You know, two Yorkshire clubs back into the Premiership would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Sheffield United lapped out for the whole time, that's another question. You know, I think people are asking that about us, people are asking that about them. You know, I think that's the big question, I think, now. But I think they're a very strong unit at Sheffield United. You know, it's pretty wild to see, and I worked with Chris Flick at Halifax for a long time ago, and I know exactly what Chris is like, and I know what he's expecting his players week in, week out, and he's getting that at the minute. He's got a good set of lads. They were playing some good football, and they're grinding out some really good results. So, you know, I think they will be thereabouts certainly at the end. I know he's playing it down, but I think they'll be thereabouts at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think Chris Wilder's done a fantastic job. You know, from winning League One, getting a very respectable 10th last season, and then second place as it stands at the moment. Norwich and West Brom drew at the weekend. They drew 1-1. Norwich have had a bit of a blip lately. I know. I remember watching their game against Derby a couple of weeks ago. And they lost three. Well, they went from 3-2 up to losing 4-3, and they haven't won since before Christmas. So, you know, they need to pick up a win. Bit similar to sort of Leeds, I'd say, at the weekend. They sort of need to pick up a win and get out of this rut.
Yeah, I think Norwich have got a tough month this month. You know, I think the play off the top of my head, obviously at West Brom, I think they play Middlesbrough this month as well. I think they've got another one in the playoffs this month as well at Norwich. So it's a tough one for them. I think, you know, for me, I'm Norwich keep it going. I think they have been, I think they picked up 15 points from being in a losing position from 85 minutes onwards or something, which is a huge amount. You can't keep doing that week in, week out. You can't keep scoring in the 89th minute, 90th minute to win 2-1. You know, for instance, or getting that winner in the 89th minute, it just doesn't happen. I think Norwich might taper off a little bit. The biggest worry for me, really, is West Brom. I think West Brom are a great team. Again, they absolutely battered us down at their place. They've still got to come to us. They absolutely battered us with pace and power. They've got a fantastic manager. I've got to say, I think he's done a great job for them. He's a great lad. You know, I know a lot of the Bradford lads who were with him, and he's a great lad. And I think West Brom will still put a fight on. They've still got the squad. The only downside to them is that, you know, the kid's gone back to Leicester now.
I thought
he was a really good player. Yeah, down the left hand side. That's a big hole for them to fill, because he was a big, powerful lad who created a lot for them. But I do think West Brom are the biggest worry to push into that top two for both. And for Sheffield United, but you know, as I say, we've still got West Brom to come to our place, and that's going to be a tough one. But I do think West Brom will be there or thereabouts. But then I still feel in this league, if somebody puts a bit of a run together, you know, a Stoke or a Villa in particular come to mind. I think one could creep into that sixth spot.
Yeah.
you know, at the end of the season. They were too good not to. They were just league goals. You know, if you're doing an accumulator on a Saturday, you're not both got 30 to score, Villa seems to be the one to go for, because there's always seems to be, you know, goals for Villa and whoever they're playing against. But they've got firepower that, you know, they will, you know, score you some goals, but they are a little bit weak at the back. But I still fancy them to do all right. Stoke got a new manager now as well. They obviously didn't get this result on Saturday against the team they wanted. But again, you know, I think they've got to come good, because again, with the squad which they've got, it's too good a squad. It's a Premiership squad from last year, realistically. You know, so I don't know. I think this year, if you, it's a bit like anybody, you know, Sheffield United have gone on a bit of a run, we went on a bit of a run. If you get a bit of a run going, you can jump up this league very, very quickly, and that's all it takes, you know. And if you can just string 5 or 6 wins together, you know, you can jump up a lot of places in this league. So I think there's a lot to fight for in that top. I think Birmingham, you know, Birmingham, I think they'll struggle a little bit in the second half of the season. It's quite a small squad, but they're on the periphery of the playoff area. You know, watching Derby, I have to say, I was a bit disappointed with Derby, to be honest, on Friday. I don't think it was more that we were that good and so much more energy against them, but I was a bit disappointed with the two lads from, you know, the one from Chelsea and the one from, you know, from Liverpool. They didn't really put the foot on it. You know, at the start of the season, they were scoring all sorts of goals and running the show, and I thought Derby would be thereabouts, but, you know, I kind of, from Friday, I kind of fear for them a little bit to win at the end of the season. And then, so yeah, it's a really interesting league. I think this year is the best opportunity for Andy to go up, because there's not a Wolves like there was last year, who were by far the best team in the league, without a shadow of a doubt. You're all playing for one spot. I think now, this year, you seem to be able to be playing for the two spots, and everybody's fighting for it. And you know, we're there at the minute, and we've got to keep there. And you're Sheffield United, you know, it's your West Brom, they've got to fight to catch us up, really. And you know, you've still got your Middlesbrough in there, which I've got to say I don't really like how they play, but it's a totally fearless team, and it's the big, the strong, and they'll score off set pieces, and that's about it. That's what I kind of play for, but tough team to break down. So it's going to be an interesting second half of the season. You know, whoever gets the best result against the six around them, you know, we'll ultimately go up, because I think there's a bit of a gap then when you go a little bit lower down into the bottom half, and you know, hopefully we can pick them points up.
Yeah, you look at the table, Derby are in 6th place on 43, and only 6 points behind them is Blackburn, who sit 14th, so it's such a congested middle of the table. Yeah. And I know Derby's, you can say on paper, yeah, Derby's form's been very poor and they sit 6th, but when you consider they've played Derby, Sheffield United, obviously Leeds, Middlesbrough lately, it's I think it's a bit of a... They've got a couple of winnable games coming up against Reading and Preston, so... You know, going forward, those two games will be really important. But there are some teams in some serious form. Hull, you mentioned, I saw that Adkins and Jarrod Bowen got Player of the Month. There's some talk he might even move to the Premier League. But Hull have been in some fantastic form, and earlier in the season, it was looking like they might be in the relegation fight. But they've turned it around really well, and now looking more likely to get into the playoffs, perhaps.
Yeah, well, I think they've got 7 unbeaten now, haven't they? I think they've gone.
Won the last 6.
And playing very good football. I thought, you know, I was quite impressed with them against them. I did think that we would get... I thought we kind of deserved a draw out of it. I thought the 2 goals we conceded weren't the best, and I thought we, you know, 2 played off the line. But, you know, they were well organised. The two wide men, you know, work the socks off. The kid who was talking about going into, I think, Tottenham after him or something as well, and he into the Premiership, and a few people sniffing about him. He played very well against us. You know, gave Douglas a bit of a torrid time down the our left hand side, their right hand side. But again, you know, if you look at all, you know, there's suddenly, and Birmingham are the same, really. Birmingham have kind of snuck up a little bit. They're just behind, I believe, just behind Derby as well. They were certainly on Saturday. Before the games, and you know, you string a few results together in this league, you can get yourself right into the mix. And you know, there's a few which You know, there's always one team that's thrived at the league. You know, I can remember Reading doing it from the bottom of the league at Christmas to getting into the playoffs, actually then getting into the Premiership. And you know, if you can string some results together, you know, through this time now, you know, you can put yourself in a very good position. And I think there's a few teams that can do that. But that's something I was impressed with them. But the best team I've seen, you know, for me so far down at you know, down at Elland Road, really, was, you know, it kind of most likely, you know, Middlesbrough are just a big, strong unit that didn't really play much football, but Hull tried to get on the floor and try to pass it around, full of energy, you know, and things as well. And you've got, you know, you've not even mentioned Forrest, new manager, coming in at Forrest, you know, again, they haven't lost that many away from home. I think they've got great, they get a lot of draws away from home, but it was the home record which was the worst bit. You know, so there's a lot of things in this league which all fans would want to be back in the Premiership, because the big clubs, it's all about now who's got the bottle and who can string some results together, and we can, you know, I think give it another month and a half, we kind of really, you know, the mix is there, then we kind of know, and then it's even set of pressure.
You mentioned sort of as we went a few managerial changes, but another one at Stoke with Nathan Jones, who was in charge at Luton, replacing Gary Rowett. He's well, hopefully we'll see a lot of goals over at Stoke. They're a side who could get back into it. They're 8 points off the playoffs, but you know, as you say, things change so quickly in this league.
Well, I think he's a good coach. He's done well at Luton. I was speaking to Paul Hart in the middle of the year, really, back at the end of the season last year, and you know, he was raving about him, saying, you know, he'd done really well, and he was, you know, his ethics and everything else. So he wants a bit of an attacking team and things, and I think, you know, I think Gary Rowett, he's done a decent job at Derby, and he obviously jumped ship to go across to Stoke and stuff, and you know, are they in the right position for, you know, somebody who's just come down? Well, no, they're not. You know, they've got a very similar thing to what they had last year, and you know, they should be in a better position than where they are. That's the bottom line. And obviously, a new manager, you know, puts new life into the place. They all have a fresh start. And I do think I think Stoke, Phillip are the two which kind of could push, you know, up into the playoff area very quickly by putting, you know, string a few results together. You know, we've got them Saturday at Stoke, which is going to be a really tough game, but it's, you know, it's the new manager's new first home game, and I think it's a very tough game for us, I think. You know, we beat them quite convincingly, to be fair, at Elland Road at the start of the season. But as I say, it's two bigger club and two bigger players, really, to be in the position, you know, where they are. But then, I suppose last year we said that about Sunderland, didn't we? So it's a really difficult league. I think it's very difficult for Premiership players coming down into this league, because it's constant. You don't get any respite in the Premiership. You do get some respite. You know, so it's normally it's a game Saturday, Tuesday. Obviously, to say for this month now, it seems to be Saturday games, which would only be a little bit more rest time. But you know, yeah, it's I think Stoke could. Could fly in there, as I say, I think Villa could fly in there as well if they get, you know, string a few results together. But anybody could in this league. Birmingham could, Morris could, you know, they put string a few results together. I think they could push themselves back up into the playoff area.
I won't press you to try and pick four teams to be in the playoffs, because you could pick from about 10, 15 teams. But can I ask your thoughts on who'd be the top two?
The top two for me. Well, there was a stat about Liverpool. If Liverpool win the league, then last time Liverpool won the league, Leeds went up and Sheffield United went up in second. So I would be very happy if that happened. Let's put it that way. I don't want to nail our, you know, our names to the mast. I don't want to tempt fate or anything else like that. I think we are one of the better teams in this league. I think Leeds have got a fantastic opportunity. I think Sheffield United have also got a fantastic opportunity. You know, I put West Brom to go up at the start of the season. I thought West Brom would be thereabouts, and I think they still will be. Were they getting tough run this month as everybody else has. So, you know, I think we'll have a little bit more say come the end. But I'd be very happy if the Premiership stays as it is at this present moment of time. And I'd be very happy if history repeats itself and we go up and Sheffield United go up.
Mm-hmm. At the start of the season, I put Leeds and Stoke to be the two teams to go up automatically. So I'll stick with Leeds. I'm not so sure with Stoke. I'm thinking perhaps Middlesbrough, but yeah, it's so hard to choose.
The thing for us at Leeds, we at the start of the season, we were on stage and we were talking in front of 2,000-3,000 people in the pavilion, and you know we actually sat down and we said, how are we going to do this year? How do you think we're going to do this year? And not one of us knew how we would be. We couldn't throw our name into that hat because we really didn't know what effect the manager had on the team. And you know, we realised there wasn't many players who'd come in. We obviously Bamford came in and Douglas came in early. There was not many more he brought in, and you know, we were a bit scared about what's the team going to be. And we saw the team, and the team was very similar to what was last year. We're like, well, what's happening here? And then, you know, it just shows you what a manager can do, and a top class manager like Bielsa, who's come in and was very well respected within football, can actually get out of players by maybe giving them a bit more confidence. Phillips this year, as an example, unbelievable. You know, you can go through the whole team really. You know, the performance levels have gone up so much, and I think this manager, you know, he's something special. He's an enigma. He wants to win something. He's fallen in love with Leeds United. You know, he sleeps at the training ground. He's a workaholic. He's out to all the 23 games. He's got an eye on every single player in that club, and every single player has to be fit. And you know, and I'm going to say fit, I mean the fittest they've ever been. And you know, it's Pontus Janssen said something in the week which was quite interesting. He did a close turn on the edge of his box, and he got like the mix second out of him on Twitter and stuff. And he said, please don't tell Bielsa because otherwise I'll be running for the next 2 weeks. You know, and it. That kind of sums it up. You know, they know what the manager wants, and you know he will run them, and he will get them. These boys are the fittest they'll ever be, and you know they have to be under 10% body fat. You know, that's one of his kind of straits. And you know, Sam Hussein was 13-14% body fat, and that's one of the reasons he was a bad egg. Within the squad a little bit. And he got rid of him, and that's why he's gone. And you know, there's a mass togetherness of this team, and they're not playing. I looked at Forest again. You know, you've got Cooper, you've got Berardi, you've got Dallas, all within the crowd on the front row. You know, and Rupi got the Alioski, sorry, got the second ball, and went 2-1 up. And their reaction itself just sums up what Leeds United is all about at the minute. And it's just a massive togetherness on everybody's fighting for the same goal, and that comes down to one person really, and that comes down to the manager, you know, to put these players together. And you know, your likes of Stoke, for instance, might be you've got a manager who comes in who might have to do the same thing, and you know, but certainly Bielsa has got something which is, you know, which is definitely something special, and these players will react to that, and they're playing for him, and they're playing out the skins at the minute. And I'm hoping that, fingers crossed and touching lots of wood at the minute, that it continues right through to you know, to the last game of the season, and you know, we can have a big party, but let's not get in front of ourselves. Let's just one game at a time, and keep our feet on the ground, and let's see where we end up in the next 5 or 6 games, and reevaluate it then, and then next 5 or 6 games, and you reevaluate then. But I think if we win 12 to 13 games now at the end of the season, I think we will go up then.
Mm-hmm. Just one final question I want to ask you. There's been some talk in the news about sort of throughout the season really about TV rights and TV money. There's a few teams, Leeds and Derby County are probably the main two who are on TV more and are therefore thinking they should get a bigger proportion of the split. Have you got any opinion on that? And do you think Leeds have been on TV too much or?
My opinion on it really is that I think at the minute we get 5 million. I think everybody gets 5 million. I think you get 100 grand per game. I think
it's something like that. Yeah.
My understanding now is the next one is that we get 3 million and you get 100 grand again potentially. I think it's not a case of that we're on Sky the most, which we are. You know, we're on Sky more times than we're not.
Yeah.
I think it's more the change of the fixtures, so changing it to a Friday night, changing it to a Sunday afternoon, changing it to a, you know, when we've got, you know, as a league fans, we've got trips come from Norway, we've got trips come from Sweden, we've got the Dublin people come up, we've got, you know, people from London coming up, you know, we've got a huge support who put their tickets in advance to try and get in and, you know, to these games, and then something gets changed. I just don't think it's fair on that side of it. You know, you look at what the Premiership money is. I heard something about the Premiership, and, you know, every team in the Premiership doesn't actually need any fans to go watch it and still make money. Well, it should have just filtered down a little bit more, I think. And I think it should go down to you know, you look at Ipswich as an example. How many times have they been on telly this year? I don't know. Once, twice, three times, maybe tops. How many times have Luke been on? I'm guessing 12.
Yeah.
I'm guessing maybe 4. Okay, so is it fair that Leeds only get the 7 hours of what Ipswich get? You know, I personally don't think it is right. I think Leeds should get more because it's, you know, you're on TV more, you're bringing more rights and you're bringing more people to watch, you know, watch it. We got told about, you know, about Leeds United from Sky, from somebody inside, and he said that there was a Chelsea Manchester United game on, it was on a Saturday, I think it was. It was an early kick-off, it was a 12:30 kick-off, and we were on the red button at 12, quarter past 12, behind it, so we were still on Sky, but it was on the red button. And I believe we got more views than what the Chelsea Manchester United game got. So, should we get more money because of that? Now, Chelsea Manchester United will maybe got 10 million each for that. That's the one game. You know, we're getting 5 million pro rata for the year. It doesn't add up. And I think what Harvey's done is, you know, with the contract, I think I do think it's wrong. I think a lot of the teams should, you know, boycott it a little bit. I really do. And I think, you know, Sky, you know, as league fans, you know, for the last 2 years, how many games have been changed time-wise and day-wise, you know, you couldn't count them. You know, they've been 20, 30, you know, games which we've had that in the last two seasons. And it's, you know, is that right for the fans? Is it right for the staff? Is it right for, you know, people in the background? Forget about the players. The players don't really care too much when the games are. But it's more about the fans. It's more about, then people don't realise, what about, you know, all the press? And what about all the, you know, all the girls who are working down the bar? The guys who are on all the, you know, working down the bar and serving the food everywhere and all this kind of stuff. You know, they're daring as well at that time. And, you know, it's just not fair, you know, to do that, you know, for me. And I think the money should be a little bit more, you know, I don't know, you know, however much it should be at per game you get, which is what the Premiership get. It shouldn't be just the pro rata side of it, where, you know, one team gets the same price as the other team, but the other one's on 10 times more. It's all been changed with timings. And, you know, as I said before, you know, you have a game at 5:30 on a Saturday night. Well, that's your Saturday gone. Mm-hmm. You know, and if it's 5:30, well, if you're coming from Ireland, because you can't come in the morning and go back at night. You've got to come back in the morning, you stay in a hotel, and you're back on the Sunday. So it's costing them more money, you know, to come and watch these games. They might have already, you know, put the money forward to, you know, to get the flights and things like that. So I just think they need to think about the supporters a little bit more. And the people behind the thing more than the actual team and everything else. But I do think money should be, it's not all, you know, the big people making fortunes and the Premiership clubs in particular making fortunes. But I think they should be rewarded a little bit more, definitely, with the amount of games you're on TV. How many games are we going to be on now for the end of the season? I know they want all the people at the top of the league on the TV. Well, if that's the case, then realistically, I think you need to pay them a little bit more for it. But honestly, it shouldn't be a pro rata side of things.
I completely agree with you. I do think there should be a better weighting towards some of the bigger clubs in the Football League. I think, yeah, I also think that fans who actually, as you rightly say, the fans who go to the game and, you know, all the staff, the stadium workers and that, I used to work at United myself, don't get thought about at all. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on, and there does need to be more of a balance, a better equalisation with it all. I think we could have a whole other podcast about TV rights and all that, I'm sure, if we wanted to. But yeah.
No, anyway.
Go on, sorry.
I totally agree. I think you could go on for TV rights and TV money. You could go on forever and ever and ever. And, you know, I think, as I say, you know, Sky have obviously got some sort of rights. Well, you know, if somebody else came in to try and take it on, I'm sure BT Sports will be like, I'd love to do that with you. Because their viewers are getting bigger and bigger now and things as well. And I think that, Sky has just got such manipulation on, on football at the minute that I think they need to. I think somebody needs to stand up to or try and stand up to them. This is the start. I know our chairman will definitely be one of those. I'm sure. And I would hope that the big teams in the league, the ones at the top of the tree, would do the same. And there's a continuity around, because it has to be a continuity through the whole of the teams. If you have half the teams that go, no, we're not agreeing to that, then there's got to be something which has got to be said, and something's got to be done about it. And I think, you're absolutely right what you're saying. It's not, it's not fair on the fans in itself and the staff and everybody else who work around there, changing things around so much to go watch a football match, which you can go to the pub and watch. And we're still getting 35,000 on a Friday night when you can still go to the pub and watch it on a Friday night as well. And we're most likely still getting more views that way as well, and they're making money from that side of it as well. So the amount of money Sky make for putting a Leeds United game on a Friday night or a Sunday night or whatever is far bigger than what it would be if it was Ipswich Town.
Yeah.
With disrespect to Ipswich at the minute, but you're not going to get the same amount of people to go and watch that, down the pub or whatever. If you go to a pub in London, there'll be Leeds United fans watching the game. If you go to a pub in Scotland, there'll be Leeds United fans. If you go to a pub in Ireland, Spain, wherever it will be, you'll see Leeds United fans, and you wouldn't get that with other people. So if you bring people into, the pubs and the sportsmen's clubs and so on and so forth to watch these games, not just the people who are at the stadium. So I do think it should be reviewed. I'm hoping that the bigger clubs will stick together on this one. I think they will do as well. I think it's something which everybody agrees on.
The statistic I got, the average TV viewing figure on Sky for a championship game is 350,000, so you'd assume it's higher for something like a Leeds game, which it of course is. I think a really big point of it, though, is the fact that the highlights package is only on Quest and not on a so-called proper channel like ITV or BBC or someone like that. I think that would make a huge difference to the Football League.
I think it would. But again, we're going back to Sky itself having the manipulation on it again. They don't want BBC to have it. I think the BBC now could do the obviously got Match of the Day on a Saturday night still, which is half an hour. I think they've 45 minutes an hour, whatever it is. They could make that into two shows really. Somebody else obviously running it and. Have it on a red button behind it, and I think you'll get a lot of people watching the championship, because I think some of the football in the championship is better than the Premiership, to be perfectly honest. I think some of the atmospheres are better. I think the football definitely better. It's a bit more exciting, I think, than what the Premiership is, because in the Premiership now you've got kind of three tiers, haven't you? You've got your top two, top three at the minute, really. Tottenham, Manchester City, and Liverpool up there. Then you've got your another six in there, which you've got down, and then you've got six and seven at the bottom, which are kind of fighting for relegation side of it. Well, again, not just respect to Fulham and Huddersfield, but do I want to watch Huddersfield versus Fulham, or do I want to watch Leeds United versus Derby, for instance? I think I'd prefer to watch anybody in the Championship, United versus Middlesbrough, say, for instance. I think you get more viewings for a championship game than you would get for a Fulham versus Huddersfield game, and no disrespect to our team.
Well, the overall average of Premier League is 1 million viewers on average per game, so it's not that much higher than the Championship. So I'm sure when you take out the Manchester Derby and games like that, then the smaller Premier League games are in the hundreds of thousands, I'd guess, a couple hundred thousand or something. So the viewing figures are surely higher for a Leeds game.
I think if you had Sunderland in there as well, you look at Sunderland in the first division, they have 44,000 on Boxing Day against Bradford, and you're just thinking, wow, it's an amazing support, and up in Sunderland you have a lot of people who want to watch it. It's a big club. So I think it's a difficult one. I think it's just Sky just need to kind of share the money out. grassroots, like it used to be. You don't get now very rarely do you get a player coming from the lower league up into the Premiership now, which is where they used to make that money from. Sky are obviously in there. Well, Sky coming in to watch, let's use Bradford City as an example, going to watch Bradford City and paying them £300,000, say, for instance, for having it. I don't know what it would be, but let's say it's that price just to get for it. Well, that £300,000 may be their way to go for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
It might be to go and get a player from a better team to come into that team, which you're paying £100,000 a year or £200,000 a year or whatever it will be. And, that's the important bit. It needs to kind of filter down a little bit now because it is getting ridiculous in the Premiership. There's such a big gap from the top six teams now to the rest of them.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for anybody to get into that. And I think that, with the TV money which West Brom have got this year, Stoke have got, and have come down, puts them to a massive advantage, being in the Championship, because they can keep a lot of the players they've already got. And I think that's where it needs to be right. I think that's where it needs to, be cut off a little bit. And I think that's where, Sky need to think about not just the Premiership and the worldwide view into, if you're in Hong Kong or Amsterdam or wherever it will be that, you go in, but I think it needs to just filter into the Championship, then filter from the Championship into the into the first division and so on, and everybody has a chance. But I do think if you've got a big club and you've got a lot of fans who watch the games, that's the only reason leagues are on, because we get more viewings than a lot of the other viewings. And certainly in the Championship, I would imagine we're the biggest viewers of a league game. And I think that needs to be seen within a little bit of a little bit from Sky, and that kind of filters down into your grassroots, and it filters down into your league city boys and your league city schools and things like that, which need the help as well. And I think that's the thing which is important, because otherwise the future of football will be Sky, and we could be like if they did a few 10, 15 years ago, we just go belly up, because Sky just suddenly goes, I'm not interested in this anymore. We're out, somebody else has got to come in. And then the money's certainly not going to be what it is at this present moment in time. So I do think it just needs to be a little bit more realistic for things like ourselves who are on Sky a lot more, that's all.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I think we'll leave it there. I've appreciated having you on the show tonight. If you want to follow Andy, you can at AndyCuz23, and also follow us at V2 Sport Network. Yeah, thanks for your time. Maybe speak to you next season with Leeds in the Premier League.
Let's hope so. We've got our fingers crossed.
All right. Thanks for coming on. Good night.
No problems. Cheers. Thank you.